Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet Vav, Chapter 15. By the end of the last perek, we saw that Shaul had firmly taken hold of the kingship and had become a strong military leader, consolidating the power of the kingship, defeating the enemies of Israel, and commanding the loyalty of the people. Our chapter today, which serves as a critical turning point in the Sefer, opens against that backdrop. Abarbanel draws a further message from the juxtaposition of the two prakim. At the end of the last perek, we were told that the war against the Plishtim persisted throughout the days of Shaul. Abarbanel suggests that this war had become a kind of personal vendetta for Shaul. And when Shmuel noticed that Shaul was paying disproportionate attention to the war against the Plishtim, he came to Shaul to redirect his attention to a much bigger national concern. And that's where our perek opens. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Oti shalach Hashem limshochacha lemelech alamo al Yisrael, ve'ata shma lekol divrei Hashem. Shmuel said, Hashem sent me to anoint you king over his nation, Israel. And now, listen to the voice of Hashem. According to Abarbanel, Shmuel is rebuking Shaul, saying, as king of Israel, it behooves you to put their concerns first. Moreover, he adds, now listen to the voice of Hashem. Since the directive to destroy Amalek, which will be the subject of this chapter, consists of two elements, Kvod Hashem, the honor of Hashem, and Kvod Yisrael, the honor of Israel, who had been wronged by Amalek in the desert upon their exodus from Egypt. Amalek had then attacked Israel to minimize the glory of God by defeating his people, demonstrating that the power of their sword, the sword of Esav, was greater than the spiritual power of Yaakov, of Yisrael. Da'at Sofrim explains that Shmuel stresses, Ve'ata shma l'kol divrei Hashem. Now, this time, listen to the word of Hashem without any deviation. If you listen to Hashem this time, perhaps you can fix the error you made by not waiting for me to offer the sacrifices as instructed, by showing that you have learned from your past mistake. Alternatively, if you persist in sinning, that would demonstrate a character flaw that has become rooted in you, which can no longer be rectified. Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, pakadati et asher asa amalek liYisrael, asher sam lo baderech ba'aloto mimitzrayim. So says Hashem, I have taken note of that which Amalek did to Yisrael, who ambushed you on your way up from Egypt. Ve'ata lech v'hikita et Amalek, v'hacharamtem et kol asher lo, ve'lo tachmol alav, v'heimata me'ish ad isha me'olel v'ad yonek mishor v'ad se, migamal v'ad chamor. And now smite Amalek and completely destroy all that belongs to him. Do not have pity on him, and put to death every man, woman, and child, every ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Shaul summoned the nation and counted them by assigning a sheep to each man, and then counting the sheep. Malbim explains that these details by saying that they preclude the legitimacy of Shaul's later claims that he was afraid of the nation and they needed the sheep to offer sacrifices to Hashem. How could either of these claims be true? If the nation came at Shaul's bidding, ready to do his will, and he had sufficient sheep to count all the men, Shaul counted 200,000 men of Israel and 10,000 men of Yehuda. Shaul reached the city of Amalek and prepared for battle in the wadi, in the riverbed. Shaul warned the Keni, who had settled in the adjacent area, to withdraw from the area, lest they be caught up in the fighting and killed. After all, their ancestor, Yitro, had acted graciously with the people of Israel. What was this chesed, this kindness, graciousness, with which Yitro is credited? Rashi explains that he provided a lavish meal for Moshe and Aaron in the desert, from which all of Israel benefited. The Midrash credits Yitro with saving the life of Moshe Rabbeinu when he ran away from Egypt after killing an Egyptian who was beating a Jew. Alternatively, Yitro's kindness was manifest in his joy at their successes and his advice to Moshe regarding the system of judges. Abarbanel notes that the mention of the Keni highlights the paradigmatic difference between the Keni and Amalek in terms of their attitudes toward the Jewish people. Amalek represents cruelty, moral and religious evil, a denial of Hashem as creator and supervisor of the world, whereas Yitro and the Keni represent loving kindness, righteousness, and faith. Amalek must be completely eradicated, while no harm must come to the descendants of Yitro. And Shaul struck the Amaleki from Chavilah to the approach to Shur, which is alongside Egypt. Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Vayitpos et Agag melech Amalek chai, ve'et kol ha'am hecherim lefi charev. And Shaul captured Agag, the king of Amalek, alive, and put the entire nation to death by sword. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Vayachmol Shaul beha'amal Agag, va'al metav hatzon beha'bakar, beha'mishnim va'al hakarim, va'al kol hatov, ve'lo avu hacharimam, ve'chol hamlacha nimviza ve'names otah hecherimu. And Shaul and the nation took pity on Agag, and on the best of the sheep and cattle, the fatted bulls and the fatted sheep, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them. But the inferior and worthless property they thoroughly destroyed. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Shmuel lemor. And the word of Hashem came to Shmuel, saying, Nichamti ki himlachti et Shaul lemelech, ki shav me'acharai, ve'et dvarai lo hekim. Vayichar l'Shmuel, vayizak el Hashem kol halayla. I regret that I crowned Shaul as king, for he has turned away from following me and has not fulfilled my decree. Shmuel was extremely distressed, and he cried out to Hashem all night long. Abarbanel explains that Hashem enumerated two wrongs on Shaul's part. First, he turned away from me in Gilgal by not awaiting your arrival as he had been instructed. And now, second, he compounded that sin by not fulfilling Hashem's decree regarding Amalek. He explains that Hashem did not reveal to Shmuel specifically what Shaul had done. So Shmuel cried all night that Hashem might reveal to him the details of Shaul's sin and punishment. According to Da'at Sofrim, Ze'aka is a form of prayer that indicates a heartfelt outcry, a pouring out of the heart when one is so upset that he can hardly articulate his prayer in words. Shmuel had not been this upset after Shaul's first sin, because there was still a chance that he would repent and be forgiven. But now he recognizes that Shaul's kingship is irrevocably doomed. Shmuel had invested a great deal in Shaul, having been his teacher and mentor, and he truly loved Shaul as a parent loves a child. He was personally devastated by Shaul's sin, but even though he himself was angry at Shaul, he davened on his behalf all night long. Despite the difficulty of the task that lay ahead of him, to rebuke Shaul and inform him of his punishment, Shmuel arose early the next morning to fulfill his mission. It was told to Shmuel that Shaul had gone to the Carmel, and from there returned to Gilgal. Why had he gone to the Carmel? The text states, "Vihinei matziv lo yad." He made a monument for himself. Malbim explains that Shaul's intent was to build a monument to his victory and then return to Gilgal to offer sacrifices to Hashem. Rashi suggests that he went to the Carmel to build an altar to Hashem as well, and that the altar he built there was the one later repaired and used by Eliyahu HaNavi when he faced off with the prophets of the Baal hundreds of years later. He also offers a second suggestion, based on the Aramaic translation of Yonatan, the Targum, that Shaul went to the Carmel to set up a distribution center for the spoils of the war before going to Gilgal to offer sacrifices to Hashem. In all of these scenarios, it is apparent that Shaul is completely innocent in his own eyes of any wrongdoing. Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Vayavo Shmuel el Shaul, Vayomer lo Shaul, Baruch atah Hashem, Hakimoti et dvar Hashem. Shmuel approached Shaul, and Shaul greeted him jubilantly, proclaiming, Blessed are you to Hashem, I have fulfilled the word of Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel, Ume kol hatzon haze beoznai, v'kol habakar asher anochi shomea? Is that so? What is that sound of sheep bleeding in my ears, and the sound of cattle that I hear? Vayomer Shaul, Me amaleki hevi'um, asher chamal ha'am al meitav hatzon v'habakar, leman zvoach l'ashem elokecha, ve'et hayoter hecheramnu. Shaul responded, Oh, they brought them from the Amaleki, for the nation took pity on the best of the sheep and cattle in order to sacrifice them to Hashem, and the rest we utterly destroyed. Implicit in Shaul's response are two excuses for his failure to strictly adhere to Hashem's command. It wasn't me. It was the nation. It was L'shem Shemayim. They had good intentions. It was for the sake of heaven. The Midrash cites this excuse of Shaul as an example of the pasuk in Mishlei, Mechase Psha'av Lo Yatzliach, chapter 28, verse 13. One who attempts to cover up his sins will not succeed, contrasting him with David HaMelech, King David, who, when the prophet Nathan rebuked him for sinning, admitted immediately, Chatati L'Hashem, I have sinned unto God, even though in his case there were reasonable explanations for his behavior. Shmuel responds harshly to Shaul's excuses. Pasuk Tetzayin, verse 16, Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Heref ve'agid alecha et asher diber Hashem elai halayla. Vayomer lo daber. Stop, and let me tell you what Hashem has said to me this night. And Shaul said, go ahead. It seems he's still unaware that he has done anything wrong. Vayomer Shmuel, Halo im katonata be'inecha, rosh shivtei Yisraelata. And Shmuel said, even if you're small in your own eyes, you are the head of the tribes of Israel, and Hashem has anointed you over as king over Israel. Hashem sent you on a mission and commanded you to destroy the sinners, Amalek, and to fight them until they are completely eradicated. Even if you're humble in your personal life, as king of Israel, you may not forfeit your dignity and authority. Hashem sent you to do a job. It is incumbent upon you to rise to the occasion and command the people to execute the word of Hashem. V'lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem. Vata'at el hashalal, vata'as hara b'inei Hashem. Why have you not listened to the voice of Hashem, pouncing on the spoils as if you were birds of prey and doing that which is evil in the eyes of Hashem? Rather than admitting to the charges of Shmuel, Shaul still persists in trying to justify himself. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel, asher shamati b'kol Hashem, Va'elech b'derech asher shlachani Hashem. Va'avi et Agag melech Amalek ve'et Amalek hacheramti. I did heed the word of Hashem, and I did set out on the mission set for me by Hashem. I brought Agag, the king of the Amaleks, captive and destroyed the entire nation. Va'yikach ha'am me'hashalal tzonu bakar reshit hacherem lizboach l'Hashem elokecha b'gilgal. And again, the nation took from the spoils the choice sheep and cattle to sacrifice to Hashem in Gilgal. According to most of the commentators, this is the first Shmuel is hearing of the pardon granted to Agag. He is so preoccupied by the sheep and cattle that he doesn't even immediately process this new information, addressing it only several verses later. Meanwhile, Vayomer Shmuel, Hachefetz Lashem be'olot uzvachim, kishmoa b'kol Hashem, Hinei shmoa mizevach tov, lahakshiv mechelev elim. Do you think Hashem desires korbanot for their own sake? Better to listen to Hashem in the first place than to have to offer sacrifices as atonement for sinning. To bring sacrifices for their own sake is equivalent to sorcery and witchcraft, trying to manipulate Hashem as if he were a false god. This is a severe failure of emunah and bitachon, demonstrating a lack of faith in Hashem. Ya'an ma'asta et dvar Hashem, vayim oscha mimelech. Since you rejected the words of Hashem, he has rejected you as king. Ralbag points out that when Shaul sinned previously, he was only told that his dynasty would not continue. Now he is informed that his own days as king are numbered. Shaul finally begins to realize the severity of his sin, admitting, Chatati ki avarti et pi Hashem, but still offering excuses. Ki yareti et ha'am, va'ishma b'kolam. I gave in to the people because I feared them. The Meshech Chochma, Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, in his commentary to Bereishit 49:8, when Yaakov Avinu blesses Yehuda with the gift of kingship before his death, asks why Yehuda deserved kingship rather than any of the other tribes. He cites this episode, noting Shaul's consistent excuse that he acceded to the will of the nation, ha'am. He notes that initially, when Shaul counted the soldiers going out to war against Amalek, he distinguished between Ha'am and Yehuda. The Meshech Chochma maintains that this distinction remained in place throughout the Perek, and the tribe of Yehuda were not involved in the sin of violating Hashem's word, therefore deserved the kingship that Shaul had forfeited by transgressing and allowing the Am, the rest of the people, to sin. Now please, he begs Shmuel, please forgive my sin and return with me, and I will serve Hashem. But Shmuel refuses, saying, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Hashem, and Hashem has rejected you as king of Israel. The Alshech HaKadosh explains that Shaul's response indicated that he had not grasped the full import of what Shmuel had said to him. When he said to Shmuel, come along with me, he was still seeing himself as king, who still had the right to command Shmuel's respect. And Shmuel exclaims, I will not come along with you, for you are no longer deserving of such tribute. Your right to the kingship comes from Hashem, and you have forfeited that privilege. Vayisov Shmuel alechet, vayachazek bichnaf meilo, vayikara. This verse constitutes one of the great ambiguities in Tanakh. Shmuel spun around, turning his back on Shaul both literally and figuratively, and he grabbed the corner of his coat and it tore. Who tore whose coat? Rashi offers two possibilities. Shaul tore Shmuel's coat, having grabbed hold of it to prevent Shmuel from leaving. Alternatively, Shmuel tore Shaul's coat as a symbol of the kingship that would be torn from him. Radak offers a third possibility, that Shmuel tore his own coat as a sign of mourning that his efforts had not borne fruit and Shaul had failed to live up to his expectations. Musar HaNevi'im elaborates on this idea, explaining that Shmuel mourned for Shaul as if he were dead to him. The rift between them was irremediable. Malbim points out that a prophecy accompanied by a symbolic act such as this tearing of the coat indicates that that prophecy is irrevocable. Pasuk Kaf Chet 28, Vayomer Elav Shmuel, Kara Hashem et Mamlechut Yisrael Me'alecha Hayom Unetana L'Reacha Hatov Mimcha. Vegam Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker Velo Yinachem, Ki Lo Adam Hu Lihinachem. And Shmuel said to him, Hashem has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has granted it to your peer, who is better than you. Moreover, the Eternal One of Israel does not lie or relent, for he is not a human being who relents. Abarbanel explains that while we do find psukim that say, Vayinachem Hashem, as above, when Hashem expresses to Shmuel that he regrets having anointed Shaul, it's always in response to some change in man. Hashem himself never alters, and in this case, there is no alteration that Shaul can make to undo this decree. Now Shaul finally grasps the enormity of what has happened. Vayomer chatati, ata kabdeni na neged ziknei ami v'neged Yisrael, v'shuvi mi v'hishtachaveti l'Hashem Elokecha. And he said, I have sinned. Now please honor me in the presence of the elders of my nation and in the presence of Israel. Return with me, and I will serve Hashem, your God. Throughout this encounter, Shaul has spoken of Hashem to Shmuel as Hashem Elokecha, your God, which Radak explains as a mark of respect to Shaul. So Shmuel returned with Shaul, and Shaul prostrated himself before Hashem. Shmuel now ordered that Agag be brought before him, and Agag was brought to him in chains. Agag said, Achein, Sar Mar Hamavet, the bitterness of death has left me. Malbim explains, according to the simple meaning of the text, that for Agag, who was profoundly arrogant, the degradation of being jailed and chained was worse than death. Therefore, he regarded his imminent death as a release from that degradation. The Gemara in Megillah 13a reveals that during the last night that Agag remained alive, a woman was brought to him in prison, and that union resulted in the eventual birth of Haman, Ha'agagi. Thus, Agag exclaimed, the bitterness of death has been obviated, for the way has been paved for a descendant of mine to continue my determination to eliminate the Jewish people. Shmuel responded, just as your sword made women childless, so shall your mother be made childless among women. And Shmuel executed Agag before Hashem in Gilgal. Shmuel then went home to Ramah, and Shaul returned to his home in Givat Shaul. And Shmuel never saw Shaul again until the day of his death, for Shmuel mourned over Shaul, and Hashem regretted having made Shaul king over Israel. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui nishmot imotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer alea ha'shalom, and Sarah Schenker alea ha'shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.